Scriptures say, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. This reminds us of the price that was paid. It was not just a price that was paid for our sins, but he redeemed us from the world, from our condition, to a new condition in Christ. I had mentioned the other day, I did this after, I've been planning this message for so long. You know, it's supposed to be the first some weekend in January, I think, and then so I changed it, and then I did, and then I changed it, and then I changed it, and I sent John a PowerPoint attempt. I've never done such a thing, and then I changed it again. And this morning I rewrote the whole thing, and would just because I'm just overflowed with with this passage, and it's in, as I just read, it's not surprising to me when I think of what Jesus said, that this is what the Bible is about. This is the center of the universe, of everything, and certainly it's the center of the universe of the church. And I had done a whole bunch of homework yesterday, which I wanted to share with you, but I'm not going to. I just started in Genesis and just the Pentateuch, and went through this new Bible that you gave me. And every place that I read that is a talking about forgetting, remembering, or some aspect of the elements I'm going to share today, I wrote 1 Corinthians 11, and then the verse for whatever part that it is. And so these are wide margins, and so I could just quickly go through, and I'm like, oh, this is so neat. No concordance, just what I've discovered. I'm not going to do that. Because even though I have a right to keep you here until afternoon, because I'm so far behind, I'm not going to do it. You got in the way of my line there. My next line was, because you may have a dinner date to remember. That's the title of the message today, a dinner date to remember, or an exclusive dinner date. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Together we come to this table to feast on the goodness of his grace, to feast on his faithfulness, which is forever, to, as John 6 says, to take his life in, to think on him and experience his life through us. It's an exclusive dinner date. It's a dinner date in which there is the bride and the groom. That's exclusive. There's only one bride, there's only one groom. Don't come to the dinner date if you have multiple boyfriends and girlfriends. This is not the bachelor or the whatever the other is. This is an exclusive dinner date, bride and groom, remembering and anticipating. Jesus said, till I come and make all things right. We remember that. These elements, the elements of a dinner date to remember, are not the miracle. Those elements are not the miracle. It's not the elements, but the participants that are transformed. The elements are not transformed into the body of Christ, and you don't receive Christ when you receive the elements. As a matter of fact, if you have not received Christ, you should not take these. As we're going to read, it is the same as drinking judgment. It's not discerning the worth and the glory of Christ. And it's doing like Nadab and Abihu, who had the privilege of going into the Holy of Holies, and they went in and they offered up to God their own way of worshiping. And God struck them dead. And God strikes people dead today who take communion without discerning. You say, he does. Paul said that there were many who were sick among them. And they were sick because they weren't discerning. And they were sick because they were flippant. And they took communion. And I don't know God knows. And so one element is an examination. I'll share that in just a bit. But it's not those elements that are transformed. It's the participants that are transformed. And now I want to share with you, the participants are transformed by the elements of the Lord's Supper that we're going to look at today. So these are the elements of a dinner date to remember. What is got to be part of a dinner date to remember? What elements are in every one of these? The first one is the element of identification. Whenever there's this really special event or a special date, there's usually reservations made. And the reservation here, the table is set. And the settings are very serious. When we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul said, "What the Lord gave to me, I give to you." And this is interesting. This was before any of the Gospels were given. And so Paul was saying what the Lord gave to him, Jesus shared this with him. And he says, "I give to you." And then he says, the night he was betrayed. And if you just stop there, it's a serious time, right? It's a serious event. But Jesus says, "This do in remembrance of me, till I come." He's coming again. And when he does, he's going to set all things right. And so it's a celebration. It's a joyous event. It's a serious event. It's a joyous event. There's a tension, but the tension is relieved as we participate in all of the elements of this weekend to remember, if you will, of this exclusive dinner date, a date to remember. It's serious, it's joyous. When I attended a weekend to remember, and one of the things is they had a section, and while we were listening to it, they asked, what would you, if you went back, you could have a card and they took your picture, what would you put on it? And I wrote in my little booklet, "I still do." And it was just incredible for me because that's kind of their slogan. I'm like, wow, I was so right on. I didn't know what was coming. And I was what it's all about. I still do. It's serious. This is setting is serious because here you have Jesus, the omniscient one, saying, "You won't forget me, will you?" Your dad, your mom, your child is on their deathbed. Can you imagine them saying to you, "You won't forget me, will you?" It would be like, how could I? Anybody know the Lion King story? Simba's confronted with a vision of his father, and his father says, "You've forgotten me." He says, "No, how could I?" And he said, "You become less than you are and thereby forgotten me." Jesus is omniscient and he knows he won't forget us, but he knows that we will forget him. And so he gives us this help. In Psalm 103, it says, "The Lord remembers that we are but dust. And he gives us helps to help our memory." You won't forget me, will you? Jesus says, "Remember me when." This do remembering me. This do because you need it to remember me rightly. You need the setting to be perfect. The table is set. It's interesting. Jesus in John chapter 21, verse 12, beside the lake, he sets a table. What a beautiful setting. And they come and he has a table set for the disciples, beautiful by the lake. But then the whole thing gets real serious. As he says to Peter, "Do you love me?" It's self-examination time. Peter says, "Yeah," three times. And it says Peter's grieved. That's how many times, I'm sure by asking him three times, it's like, that's how many times he what? Denied that he ever knew him. Denied that he knew him, loved him at all. And Jesus says, "Follow me." It's about me, communion says. It's about me, Jesus says. Communion is a time in which we identify, like Alden said, don't sing the song if it's not true. And now I belong to Jesus. Listen, the church, The purpose, one of the main purposes of the church is to identify disciples. The church is to be in the business of making disciples, and those disciples being made or molded into disciples, being like Jesus, becoming little bit by little bit more like him, become little bit and little bit less like all the world around them. They become so different that the world despises them and doesn't want to have anything to do with them. But when they see in the church, Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, by your love one for another." When they see their love for each other and how they care for each other, they're attracted to that. Jesus says that the world has the right to know. I see this all over. When I was in the at Sylvania, we always had safety meetings. There was the right to know, and you always had to read a book of all the killer stuff that was in that plant, the chemical plant, of all the things that can kill you. It's your right to know. And then when we have the right to know in government, and I just saw that, you know, that there are people who don't like the right to know, but it's your right. Your right to know. What am I saying? Jesus says to the church that the world, that people on the outside of this church have the right to know the way you are inside. They have the right to know. They have the right to judge. Whoa. And then in John chapter 17, when Jesus has his great priestly prayer, he says, "You are mine and I am yours." Identification, I am his. I just read 1 Corinthians 16:9 earlier. You the price, you belong to him. It's not about me, it's not about you. It's about identifying Jesus as Lord. This passage says he is the head. He is the Lord. He's your master. He's your owner. And it's about identifying others as brothers and sisters. And so communion should be a great privilege. You identify each other as brothers or sisters. And so there's a reservation. We had the setting at this table, but there's also the reservation. This is an exclusive dinner. This is a dinner date to remember. So we have to have a reservation. And we're identified by wedding garments. In Matthew chapter 22, Jesus said, you know, about go out and invite people to the dinner and the wedding feast. And people, you know, didn't come. And then he said, go out and invite everybody else. And then he comes in. And after saying, you know, make it your effort to invite everybody else. And we're going to have Don Sunshine come here this next week. And he's going to help us. Listen, he's going to help us see the opportunity to give an invitation. It's so neat. We're all responsible to be evangelists, but we're not all evangelists, for sure, right? Not supposed to be. But God calls evangelists, and we need to take advantage of evangelists, because when we're with them, it helps us be better at it. Just like not all of us have the gift of giving, but we all are responsible to give. And to hang out with generous people helps us realize that we can give more without giving, you know, without less. We won't become less because we gave more. We'll become more. And it's the same way with every gift. So we identify Jesus as Lord and brothers and sisters as joint heirs. And we have a reservation. Well, at this event I mentioned in Matthew 22, they were identified by wedding garments. And Jesus came and he saw a man that didn't have the wedding garments. And he wasn't washed and fitted for the occasion. He wasn't born again. He wasn't into the family. He hadn't trusted Christ as his Savior. He hadn't committed himself to Jesus as Lord. And he was cast out from the dinner. The church, one of the purposes of communion is identification, in which we identify what's real and we identify what is false. And if someone appears to be real, we have a responsibility to receive them. If someone comes and they say they've trusted Christ and they get baptized and they want to join the church, then it's the church's examines their witness, their testimony, and receives them, right?
But
what if the same person denies Jesus in their walk and in their ways? Their walk and then their talk. Or just their walk while their talk is still, you know, orthodox, if you will. Because it's not accurate. If your talk and walk don't agree with each other, it's not accurate. But it can be orthodox. And they still say they believe that Jesus is God and Jesus is Lord, and they are Lord of their own lives. Well, then the church has a responsibility. Listen, this is about identification. The church has a responsibility to receive and to reject. And the church has a responsibility to say, no, this is not a disciple. Why? I've already been over this with you and nobody got it. Because the world has a right to know. So they have a right to ask. You mean, what's the difference? It's you're to Revelation chapter 3, the church of Laodicea. And it says, God says, I'll spit them out of my mouth. They make me sick because there's no difference. It's that there's no difference. And the difference is what Jesus said will draw the world's attention. So just like in the factory, the world has the right to know. It's the world's right and the church's responsibility. Membership matters because the church is endorsing or excluding, receiving or rejecting. So this dinner date to remember, first of all, in the first place, Paul says, when you come together, sometimes it's not for the better or for the worse. In verse 18, for in the first place, high in the priority, number one, when you come together as a church, not if you come together, right? When you come together, everybody who's a disciple is going to come. If people aren't coming and you know them, you can talk to them, but if they're a disciple, and you need to tell them. If you think you're a disciple, everybody who's a disciple comes together. When you come together, I hear there are divisions among you, and I in part believe it. There must be factions in order that those who are genuine may be recognized. So the purpose of one purpose of communion, one element of this dinner to remember, is to recognize and real thing, real love, and that which is not. Oh, I have so much more here. About the, you know, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6, 7, and 11, and again in Philippians chapter 3, and in Romans chapter 16, it says to mark them. To mark them. We're to take notice of people who are walking in light and people who are walking in darkness. And you mark them so you don't join them. You don't get in step with people who are out of step with the Spirit. You don't get in step and try to be like people who say they're disciples, and when you come together, they're not together. Because where are disciples? They're together on Sunday. Because on the first day of the week, Jesus called them together and gave us that. The second, we come together for weekend to remember, and I still do. The second element is the element of recollection. Everybody knows this part of communion. He says, this do in remembrance of me. Usually if I ask people anything about communion, they know two things, the remembrance of me and examination. And so this do in remembrance of me. But what do people do when they're remembering him? What are we recollecting? The recollection. Well, first you remember who, then what, then why. You remember who. This is the lover of all lovers. When we remember who, the purpose of remembering who is to place a value on it. More than everyone else. He's the one who could say with a straight face, except you love me more than your father and your mother, brother or sister, husband or wife. You're not what? Worthy. Only a disciple could hear that. And have it resonate at all. And all disciples can hear that and have it resonate. My wife loves it if I'm in love with Jesus. And she feels it when I'm not so much. Recollection, we remember who. We remember that he is our Savior. He sacrificed himself for us, but he is our Redeemer. And I've just, you know, been reading Exodus and all those other passages I told you about. And God keeps telling them over and over and over and over, makes the Pentateuch exciting. He said, I am your God who brought you out. God is known, he is different than everything else because he is the creator, and only he could create, and he is a redeemer, only he would. He created man perfect for his splendor and fellowship, and man turns his back on him, and he redeems him. He didn't do that for the angels. And so we are in this special place, and we remember who he is. He's a redeemer. He brought us out of so that he could bring us into this relationship that will last forever. And then it's you. Look around you. We remember who? We remember Jesus, but we also remember that you matter, that we're better together, that we value each other, that there's no despising disposition. And if there is, that sets apart as being out of place of the disciple and is to be marked. This recollection not only is who, but what? Notice the occasion. He says the night that he was betrayed. When as we do this, we think, you chose me and I choose you. Again, communion is like, I do. He, and the center of this, and the center of everything really, is a covenant. God is a covenant-keeping God. He revealed himself when he was getting ready to redeem Israel out. And Israel wasn't Israel. They weren't a nation yet. They weren't baptized, initiated, inaugurated, even close. And God says, I have come down to you, to where you are, but not to leave you where you are. There is no salvation, no faith that just leaves you where you are. What if you were the children of Israel and where you are is slavery? What if? Well, let's not do what if. You are that. We all were that. Whosoever commits sin, Jesus said, is a slave of sin. The worst, hardest taskmaster of all is self. Always, never satisfied. Always wanting more. And Jesus makes a covenant. And he says, I'm taking you out and I'm taking you for myself. That you will be my own. That's why marriage is used in Ephesians as a picture of Christ in the church. Listen, maybe I'll take a whole sermon someday and do this with you. That passage is about Christ in the church, not about marriage. Marriage, God looked at in Genesis chapter 2, God looks forward and he says, I'm going to have the church, the most marvelous thing ever, the apple of his eye, the bride for his son, Jesus. I'm going to create this church. And so I'm going to create marriage way back here, before the old covenant, before any covenant. And it's always all going to point to this loving covenant relationship where I do, till death do I part, for better or worse, sickness or poor, and my favorite line of all, forsaking all others. And there's the church. It's what we recall. We recall the covenant. And then why? We remember my role. What's this picture all about? Why is it necessary? Because I deserve to die. That's why. It means a lot more when you not just remember him, but you remember why he died. The love of Christ constrains us, it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and it says, for we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. We were goners. And if he died for all, then those who live or who are still alive should live, do anybody know it? Not unto themselves, but unto him who died for them. We take this. Why does this matter? Why do we have to keep remembering this? Jesus said to the Pharisee who condemned him for not condemning a woman, and he said to the Pharisee, he said, the one who's forgiven much loves much. And he said to the Pharisee, this woman, you gave me no oil to be anointed. And he named three things. I can't go to all those things. But listen, he said to him, she did that. You gave me none. Zero. He didn't love at all because he didn't feel, he didn't understand the why of these elements. Why we remember, it's not just about him in this sense. It's a lot about us that will make it more real. We remember his passion. I mentioned earlier. You just almost can't fathom it. Because he says to the disciples, like somebody on their deathbed at the hospital, and they know they're close to the end, and they say, you won't forget me, will you? Tell me you won't forget me. It's the desire of people. That's why they put their names on streets, buy houses and want to give them to people. But it strikes me because of my age. I'm 64, and my grandmas, who, you know, they were like mega saints now that they're gone. I didn't know it then. But I realize that my mom and dad have only got a little tiny slice of time left. He's 90. She's a little younger. Won't tell her age. And when they're gone, nobody knows my grandparents anymore like that. That's short of just a couple generations. We're gone, forgotten. So we say, you won't forget me, will you? And Jesus says, therefore, do this to remember. Why? To remember. And to also reflect. There's a song I love. My dad used to sing it a lot. It says, remind me, dear Lord. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Remember that I'm human and humans forget. And remind me, dear Lord. Not what. In Psalm 103, verse 2:5-6, it says, forget not. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, and forget not all his benefits. And then it names a few benefits. And right near the top of every benefit list, for anybody who knows God, is that their sins were forgiven. And that he had ransomed them. And that he had redeemed them. This is very serious. Because if we fail here, we come together for the worse. Not for the better. We reflect why. I'm the one to blame. I caused all his pain. He gave himself the day he wore my crown. We reflect why. For this cause Christ both died and rose again that he might be Lord of the dead and the living. It's that God has highly exalted him above every name. And we reflect on the seriousness of failing here. And then another reason why is that we come to renew. When we take these elements together, we renew our conviction about unchangeable revelation. That you know, we're like, I'm betting the bank on this. I'm betting all my other relationships on this. This is the revelation of God. And I mentioned to you from Luke chapter 24. We renew the conviction. And then we renew the commitment to love and obey Jesus. To love and obey. Our commitment to love and obey. Our commitment to Christ. Our commitment to the body. It's really, really so much of what this is all about. When you come together in this, it's about us. It's about one another.
And then it's to renew our commitment to the mission. To love the Lord our God is the heartbeat of our mission. The streams from which our spirit overflows. The streets around the world. We proclaim the truth in Jesus' name. As we take communion, we renew the commitment to the mission. That includes a proclamation. That's in my next point, the recollection. The proclamation is another element in which we proclaim, where we say, we're not ashamed of this. We're not ashamed of this. Not only are we not ashamed of this, the despised, crucified Jew, but we're not ashamed of one another. Hebrews chapter 10, Paul said, "But call to mind the former days, in which after you were rejected and despised, you identified with one another." Not just the fact that you cared for them, but you became identified with them. You became despised with them. And so we proclaim. You know why? I just had to do this as an advertisement for next week. Because we're mad about it. We're mad about it. Are you mad about it? Next week, John Sunshine's going to be here with us, and his ministry title is Mad, and it's Make a Difference. But we're, you know, you've heard people say, he's mad about her. And then he gets married and he's mad at her. We're mad. That's why proclamation. The world has a right to know. And we're going to have Don Sunshine here. He's going to help us see how to seize opportunities, basically. He just makes us aware of what's already there. Proclamation. Examination. You're like, this is a dinner date to remember? And you're talking about examination? Really? Most wives are sitting there, yeah, I know all about that. Going to have to spend some time with him. He's going to examine me. What's right and what's wrong with the way I think or the way I look? And most guys are sitting there thinking, I don't know where she gets that from. We are each for the other and both for the Lord. Ever hear that song? So when we come together, we examine ourselves. I'm checking my attitude. I'm not checking out at the door. I'm checking my attitude. Do I have appreciation for you? For Christ as the head, for the church as the group, as the bride. And it's a self-examination when I'm examining for a cancer, a growth, or a lump. What are the kind of things that are growths and lumps that we examine for? Is a despising disposition. This church came together and was for the worse because they despised certain ones of each other. We gotta look at our, you've got to ask God to help us see that. A despising disposition is hard to see when it's yours. A feeling of superiority. Obviously, they had that problem here. And a feeling of inferiority. We examine for cancerous growth. Superior, inferior. Looking for what others, ready? Plainly see. We need to look for what others plainly see. And by the way, that's one of the great reasons why we come together. I need you to see what's wrong with me. Because I can't see it. That's why I'm going to preach till noon. I think you just can't hold, you're just holding on to all my words. I'm almost done. I can see you. I see you. We won't mention any names. But it was one of the two who made it into the promised land. Looking for what others plainly see. By the way, this is a great reason for coming together. We have blind spots. They're obvious spots. Blind spots are obvious spots. Everybody else can see them. And then again, all this is a proclamation. That I added and caught John by surprise and myself, and I told you I rewrote this morning. I still do. I identify with his death, and therefore I confess and proclaim. And when you do baptism, that's an initiation, and it's a proclamation of what you believe, that Christ died for me, and I'm buried with him in baptism and raised in the likeness of his resurrection. And then communion is baptism is like the wedding, if you will, and communion is like the bedroom. Yeah. It's a special awareness of a covenant relationship that we're in, and it reminds us of the preciousness of it. Doesn't make you more married. Proclamation, I still do. I identify with his death. I confess and proclaim his claim. What was his claim? His claim to be God, his claim to be the creator, to claim to be the redeemer, his claim to be the perfect man and the perfect God, and I identify with his life. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not Christ, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I live for him. It's a show and tell. And then the last element for this dinner to remember is unification. So then, brothers, verse 33 says, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. So that when you come together, it's not for judgment. Unification. All this identification, recollection, proclamation, examination adds up to adoration and respect. Showing deference. Showing respect. Honoring each other. Before ourselves. We wait. We're patient. Be patient. Be expectant. Hope for the best in others. Because he's still working on me. And them. And because we've experienced all the elements of a dinner date to remember, we are better together. And we are together for the better. Heavenly Father, if it wasn't for that you know, what a shame it would be for us to even entertain the thought that we could forget. And that you know we are dust and you've given us these elements. And if we participate in the elements that this reminds us of, you make us better together. And our being together will be for the better. And we trust this and commit this to you in Jesus' name. Amen. The men would...